It's the Matt Bubala Show on WGN Radio. Very exciting stuff down in Austin, Texas today. South by Southwest is going on. We all knew President Obama was going to be speaking down there because of the kerfluffle over him missing the funeral for Antonin Scalia. But Amina Alahi is a Blue Sky Innovation reporter for the Chicago Tribune, and she was down there and saw the president today. Hey, Amina, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing good. Was it all that it was built up to be, having the president at South by Southwest?
It was a lot. I mean, for a city that's already overrun with an extra, you know, few tens of thousand people, I think having the president in the town just added another wrench into the plans of anyone who was trying to get to work today. But it was definitely an excitable day.
The first sitting president to appear at South by Southwest, was it at their request? Had they been trying to get President Obama to come there for years? How did this come together?
You know, I'm not sure if they have, you know, specifically been trying to get him, but it is a big deal that he was here. I mean, it definitely lent sort of an air of credibility to a festival that's been around for now 30 years, but has always attracted, you know, more and more big names each year, right? Like, it has almost to the point of becoming a circus, right, where it's like a different act or a different big name, and everyone's waiting to see what the lineup is going to be. So to get President Obama this year, especially as, you know, he's going to be headed out of office, I think the organizers seem really excited and honored to have him.
Tell me a little bit about South by Southwest, because I know that this used to be a pretty small thing. Did it start out as technology, or did it start out just as a music festival?
Music, and then they added sort of these other elements of film and technology, which that's what started today, and it's called the interactive section, kind of speaking to that idea of our digital and connected world. So it's really evolved over time. I believe this year there are going to be 35,000 people attending the interactive portion, and that's only half of it, and in terms of the number of days, and a third of it in terms of the programming. And so when you walk around Austin today, it is just overrun. There's so many people, so many different kinds of people. I met people from different countries, certainly different cities and states today. So it really draws an interesting and varied crowd.
So interactive runs 11th through the 15th, film 11th mm-hmm. through the 19th, music the 15th through the 20th. How much of this are you staying there for? Will you get to stay for the music at all?
I will not, unfortunately. I'm headed back on Tuesday. I'm back to normal life, but there is a ton going on. There are already lots of little concerts, parties, all sorts of special events, certainly a lot of film, like you mentioned, that's starting as well. So I think that I could easily keep busy without going to any official South by Southwest events. That's how much is built up around the official sort of conference and festival that's going on.
So South by Southwest co-founder Louis Meyer died on Friday. Was there a lot of talk about that? Was that known while the festival was going on during the day, or was that kind of behind the scenes?
You know, it was a little quiet on that front. I actually saw the news while I was waiting for the president to take the stage, and almost expected that there would be some mention of it, at least sort of, you know, in the intro or something like that, and there wasn't. Certainly there was a lot of chatter on Twitter about it, but it was almost as though people in the room hadn't realized that that had happened.
So what is, tell me a little bit about the president and what he spoke about.
Sure. Well, when he came in, it was like a rock star had showed up. I mean, the room really erupted in cheers, and people were screaming, "I love you," and he really seemed to be enjoying it and expressed his sort of appreciation for Austin and some of the tacos that I guess he had here earlier today. But he was clearly here on a mission. I mean, he wants the technology community to get involved in supporting democracy and supporting civic life and engagement. And so he really came with that challenge of saying, you all are talented and skilled, and you need to get involved in improving life for your fellow Americans.
Well, it's interesting time for him to be speaking at a technology festival because of everything that's going on with the Justice Department wanting Apple to hack into that iPhone from the San Bernardino shooter. Did that come up at all today?
It did come up. It was something that, based on sort of some pre-briefings and speculation, the president wasn't expected to address, but it actually came through someone who submitted a question to the Texas Tribune, which was hosting the interview. And he actually ended up speaking at length about it. And his feeling, the way that he expressed it, was that he didn't want to speak about that case in particular, but that there needs to be some sort of compromise or concession, I think is how he put it, between the need for privacy, but also the need for the government to be able to look into people with probable cause. So the examples that he gave were, you know, in the case that someone may be distributing child pornography, if there's probable cause, you would go into that person's home or you know, look into their things with a warrant. The same maybe should be true for a smartphone. And he's saying we shouldn't prioritize that device over all other realms in which we acknowledge that it's okay to give law enforcement access. That said, he didn't go so far as to say that Apple should build a back door or should necessarily build a key, but instead he kind of said that this community should think about these things and see whether there's a way to sort of strike that balance or come up with a new system.
How was the reception to him talking like that?
I mean, it depends. In the room was very supportive of the president. They were all there to see him almost as fans. In fact, I spoke to some people who had waited in line for standby tickets, and they said, you know, this is our last chance to see him speak live as president. This is it. And so anyone in the room, it seemed for the most part, was at least receptive to what he was saying. There was no sort of verbal protest or anything like that. On Twitter, I was following along there as I was listening in the room. There were certainly people questioning the president's decision not to comment on the Apple case or to suggest that there may be a way to even enforce encryption and also give law enforcement a way in. It seemed that people were skeptical that that's even possible.
We're speaking with Amina Alahi. She is a Blue Sky Innovation reporter at the Chicago Tribune. You can read the story about her seeing the president at chicagotribune.com and follow her online at Twitter at Amina Mania, my favorite Twitter handle, at Amina Mania. When we come back, I want to ask a little bit more because Amina's around these technology people all the time, and I want to get a little more on their thoughts on this because it is an interesting conversation about, are there times that law enforcement does need to get in, and can we trust the government enough to allow that with all that we've already had with the NSA? We'll talk about that next. Matt Bubala with you, Radio 720 WGN. The Matt Bubala Show on Radio 720 WGN. Amina Alahi is a Blue Sky Innovation reporter who gets the plum assignment of being at South by Southwest. She saw President Obama speak, the first sitting president to speak at South by Southwest, which is now 30 years old. And I guess, Amina, I imagine people would tell you it is absolutely nothing like it was 30 years ago.
So it seems. I mean, there are a lot of jokes that go around now about how South by Southwest is for brands and marketers, and you certainly see that with companies like United and McDonald's hosting pitch competitions and having their own lounges where you can go charge your phone and get a drink. So certainly a lot more sponsored than I believe it was in the past.
I would imagine, plus about 30,000 more people. Let's go back to this iPhone and the whole idea of the government. You know, President Obama was saying he kind of danced around it. You said people were a little unhappy with that, but also just saying that you're the leaders of tomorrow. You need to figure out ways that when it's necessary to catch, you know, you mentioned a child molester, things like that. And when we were talking about this a few weeks ago on the show with a lawyer, who saw Apple's side in this, I was saying, so, you know, if you think about it, so if the San Bernardino shooter had information on paper at somebody else's house in a safe, you would, you know, the government would get a warrant and go get this. And if you look at it as, they might have information on this device that is theirs. It's just like getting a warrant to look in your safe or look in your house. I mean, at least I could see that argument. When you're around the technology people and you talk to them and this case comes up at all, do any of them say, yes, there should be a way for government to get this access when it's absolutely necessary? Or is the fear so much in light of NSA and Edward Snowden and everything we found out of what happened in the past that we should never allow this because it's just a slippery slope?
You know, I think there are a variety of opinions sort of all along the spectrum. But the thing to think about is, let's take the example that you just gave with a safe full of papers. If you open a safe, you're opening that one safe. But the argument, in this case from the technology community, is that if you create, if you give the key for encryption, you know, that would open the encryption on this iPhone, it would open it on all iPhones. So in the case that you presented, it seems clear that, you know, that person, there's probable cause, there's a reason that law enforcement would go in there. The fear is that if you use this case as a way to create that key, that it would then leave everyone vulnerable to being looked at by the government. And I do think that what you referred to earlier with the NSA, with Edward Snowden's revelations, there is a high degree of sort of skepticism and fear of what would result if government had that kind of power and access.
Well, let's talk about this a little more, because that's where it gets a little confusing. And Apple has said over and over again, listen, I have an iPhone and I don't want anybody looking at it. But Apple's made it sound like if they do this one, then everybody is susceptible, then everybody's has been hacked into in a way. And they make it sound very like, wow, if we do this one, then everybody is vulnerable. And is that completely genuine, or are they saying that once the government is able to force us to give them access, they'll be able to do that over and over and over again? And where do we draw the line? I mean, if they create this backdoor and Apple itself goes in and gives them all the files that were on the phone, it's not like they gave the government the master key to everybody's iPhone, is it?
Well, what Apple is saying is that they currently do not have access to what is on the phone. It's not that they're in possession of it and they're keeping it away from the government. It's more that they would have to create a way in. And from there, you could understand that weigh-in would be applicable to all iPhones. At least that's how Apple's putting it.
So Apple would know how to get into anybody's iPhone from then on, not that they would necessarily use it. So I think it's partially because I think the government has said, oh, you can just do it. We don't have to do it. You do it and give us the information. Mm-hmm. And that hasn't, you know, made Apple any happier about it. I guess they're saying they don't want to create it in the first place because they want their customers mm-hmm. to know that they're well protected. But also, I imagine the secondary part is once we do it for this case, then what other case is deemed, well, we need to look on this phone and we should do it. And, you know, that's where the NSA got out of control with whose calls do we really listen in on. And then we find out they're listening to ex-girlfriends and wives and husbands and everything else down the road.
Right, and that's a great point you bring up about customers, because in addition to everything else, this has been sort of a great marketing opportunity for Apple to say we stand up for our customers against any intrusion, we protect your privacy and that sort of thing. And I have heard people even today sort of questioning the authenticity of Apple's protest against the government, right? Like how much of that is driven by their real desire to protect customers and how much of that is driven by the fact that this shows them as a champion for the people who buy their phones by the millions, right? So I think there is a little bit of that feeling of maybe they're doing the right thing for the wrong reasons. Maybe, maybe not. I mean, everyone seems to have sort of a slightly different opinion on it.
Well, and some people question whether or not it's really so difficult for them to look inside this phone. They make it sound like it would be impossible. We'd have to create something. It'll take a while. But then you hear a lot of people online say that's BS. They could do this pretty easily if they really wanted to. When you talk to people, what do they say about that? Do they think it's as difficult as Apple's making it sound?
That I don't know, but I do think that people feel it's in Apple's best interest to say that it's difficult, at least, whether or not it is. You know,
yeah,
they
that's true. No, it's easy. Anybody could do it. That would sound bad. You're right.
Right. That would sound bad for a number of reasons, not least of all that it would make it seem like, just like you said, like anyone could do it, and it would make us feel vulnerable.
So I'm going to, while you were away on Friday, there was a planned rally here by another presidential hopeful that actually ended up getting canceled due to security concerns. Was that said hopeful mentioned at all by President Obama?
He was not. He was not. He didn't talk at all about the race in any specific terms. He did, though, talk a lot about voting and the importance of making it easy for people to vote. And in fact, he called on the technologists who are here and any who might be watching to say, let's think of ways, let's design safe and secure and easy systems that can allow people to register and vote online. And this is something that I've covered in the past, and the reason that we don't vote online, you know, in addition to it being expensive to build something like that, is that people are concerned about voter fraud and the idea that if you're not voting, say, at a polling station or something like that, there's potential for someone to be coerced into voting a certain way. So his point was, yes, okay, those are valid concerns, but we're all smart people here. Surely we can figure out a way to increase voter participation.
Yeah, I just can't imagine us ever feeling safe enough as a society when things are getting hacked like crazy all the time, credit card numbers, whatever.
Right.
And I hadn't even thought of just the intimidation factor if people aren't actually there voting, the different things that could happen. So that is interesting. It would be very interesting to see if in our lifetimes we end up doing more voting online. I'd be surprised. So you've got a couple of days left. What are you looking forward to? What are you seeing next? What's the cool thing that's going to happen at South by Southwest for you?
Well, there's a lot. There are just tons of talks, more than you could imagine, plus all the sort of side shows as well. So my goal is to hit up some of the big talks. J.J. Abrams is speaking on Monday, so that should be kind of fun. Stuart Butterfield, who is the CEO of Slack, the messaging service, he's speaking on Tuesday. He's probably going to be the last person that I see before I leave. And then in between, there are lots of little talks. There are actually a bunch of people from shows that feature hackers or coders or things like that. So I'm planning to hit up some of those panels. The guys from Mr. Robot are speaking tomorrow, as well as from the show Silicon Valley, which is on HBO.
Yeah.
So that should just be interesting. The guys who play coders are actually talking to the real things. So it should be a funny sort of interaction, I think.
And what's the coolness level? I mean, so on Silicon Valley, they're like total dorks and
right.
trying to be really cool. And then so there's a reputation among coders and things like that. But then South by Southwest also seems like hipster land. And so what's your general vibe that you take away from South by Southwest?
So there's a wide range of people here, all ages, all sorts of, you know, like backgrounds, countries of origin, that sort of thing. But everyone here seems kind of cool, but also a lot of people are here for work, like not just enthusiasm, if that makes sense.
Sure.
They're definitely here to network. They have agendas. They're here to learn certain things. So I haven't really seen too many people who look like the kind of schlubby, messy characters that you see on Silicon Valley who look like they've been coding for a week and haven't showered in that much time. I haven't really seen any of that. I've seen a lot of, like, laid back, for sure. I mean, mostly sneakers. I don't think I've seen a single tie yet. But people who are put together, and they're here to do business.
Even President Obama was not wearing a tie today, right?
He was not. He was wearing proper shoes, though, no sneakers.
He was wearing proper shoes, okay.
Yeah.
Good to know. Amina Elahi is a Blue Sky Innovation reporter. You can read her at chicagotribune.com, and we'll follow you on Twitter at Amina Mania, and you can see her updates from South by Southwest all the way through the weekend at Amina Mania on Twitter. Thank you so much for jumping on the phone with us.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to the Matt Bubala Show on Radio 720 WGN.